chapter number 3. Now, here in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now this word subtle, as we said this morning, has reference to the word wise. And this speaks, of course, of the wisdom of Satan, or the wisdom of the devil. And we stated this morning that we find here two ways in which the wisdom of Satan is manifested. Number one, he came to the woman in the form of an inferior animal, or a subject animal. This is the first way we see the wisdom of the devil displayed in this passage of Scripture. The second way that we see his wisdom displayed is the fact that he came to the woman when she was alone. When Satan first came to the woman here in Genesis 3, she was alone. This is proved by reading 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 13 and 14. And in this we see the wisdom of the devil. He came to her when she was at first alone. Now let me say this. In the closing verses of Genesis chapter number 2, Adam is a type of Christ, and the woman is a type of the church. Just as Adam's side was opened and the woman was made, the side of Jesus Christ was opened on the cross at Calvary, and the Word of God tells us that blood and water came out. And Acts 20:28 tells us that it was the blood of God which purchased the church. So we find here that Adam is a type of Christ and that the woman is a type of the church. Now I've said that to say this. If the woman would have stayed close to the side of Adam, she would not have been exposed to so much. This temptation would not have seemed so great. And if you as a Christian will stay close to the side of Jesus Christ, you will not be exposed to so much. And the temptations that the devil hurls at you will not seem so great. Most certainly this is so. Now, why did the devil come to the woman when she was alone? Number one, he knew that if he came to them when they were both together, that they would uphold each other. They would uphold each other. And my friend, I could say right here that this is one reason why every Christian should belong to a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Amen. The second reason that he came to the woman is because that he knew that Adam loved her greatly. He knew that Adam loved her greatly. Most certainly he did. And it is the policy of the devil many times to tempt through unsuspecting hands. Most certainly it is. It was Job's wife that tempted him in Job chapter number 2. It was Sarai that tempted Abram in Genesis chapter number 16. So we find that this is two reasons why that he came to the woman when she was alone. But let me say this as well. Has it ever occurred to you that if he had gone to the man and not the woman, if he had done it in this order, the woman would not have been holy without excuse before God? Because she could have said, "I've only acted under the influence and according to the man from which I was taken." So we find here that the devil approached the woman when she was alone. The book of 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7 tells us that the woman is the weaker vessel. And certainly the devil knows this. My friend, error will always seek the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel. Error works on the weak, but the truth Fear not the strongest foe. Error always runs for the dark, but truth fears not the light. Most certainly this is so. So we find that he came to the woman when she was alone. Now, I want us to notice something else here in verse number 1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. I want you to take notice at this time of the word yea. The word yea in verse number 1 means truly. Truly. Here we find the liar talking about the truth. Here we find the liar talking about the truth and using the word truly. And my friend, don't be surprised when the devil comes knocking at your door talking about the matter of religion and speaking about the truth. Some of the wickedest people on the face of this earth is people that's involved in religion. And they talk about the truth. They talk about the truth. So here we find the devil says, yea, hath God said, ye cannot eat of every tree of the garden. Here is the first verse in the Bible that ends with a question mark. You had better beware of the devil's ears and of the devil's questions. And let me say this as well. The devil threw Eve off guard right here because he came to her as one that was ignorant. He played the role of one that was ignorant. He gave her an opportunity to instruct him and correct him. And when the devil gives you and I an opportunity to correct him, we'd better be careful. We'd better be careful. Now we notice further here in verse number 1, he said, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now you'll notice here what the devil speaks of. He speaks of the word of God. He says, yea, hath God said? Hath God said? He struck at the word of God. And in verse number 1, we find that the devil wanted to make the woman doubt the word of God. In verse number 1, we have doubt. And my friend, why is it that today the devil is doing everything he can to keep men and women, boys and girls, from hearing the word of God? The answer is found in the New Testament. The Bible tells us in 2 passages that we are saved by grace through faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He knows without the word of God, nobody is saved. Nobody is saved. He's doing everything he can to cause men and women to doubt the word of God. Just the same thing that we find him doing here in verse number 1. He said, yea, as God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now listen, my friend, the devil knew what God had said. Now what did God say exactly? This is found in Genesis chapter 2. In verses 16 and 17. Here in these verses, we find the word of God says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Then the devil comes along, and he says, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? We can tell by his question that he knew what God had already said. Most certainly he did. And since the devil knew what God had already said, why did not the devil word his question like God had worded his command? Why did not he do that? Why didn't he do that? I'll tell you why. The devil, in verse number 1, with this question, he wanted to make the negative stand out. He wanted to make the negative stand out. You see, my friend, he did not ask the question for his own information. But he wanted to suggest to the woman that God wasn't as good and loving as she thought he was. You see what I'm saying? He wanted to call into question God's goodness. He wanted to call into question God's love. He wanted God to seem harsh and cold and unreasonable. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted. And he cries that many, many times with the descendants of Adam today. Now, so in verse number 1, we have doubt. Now notice verse number 2. Here in verse 2, the word of God says, "And the woman said unto the serpent," here the woman made a mistake. She entered into conversation with the devil. You make a mistake when you enter into conversation with the devil. Don't hold prayer meetings with the devil. Verse 2, the Bible says, "And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Now in verse number 1, we have doubt. In verses 2 and 3, we have distortion. Eve said, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." Is that what God said? No. That's not what God said. She left out the word freely. She took from the Word of God. She took from the Word of God. And my friend, she was the first, but she's not been the last to take from the Word of God. There are three warnings in the Bible. There are three warnings in the Bible telling us that we are not to tamper with the Word of God. The first one is in Deuteronomy 4:2. That's near the middle of the Bible. The second one is in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6. That's near the middle of the Bible. And then the last one is Revelation 22, and that's at the end of the Bible. So we find here that the woman took from the Word of God. The first word revised. The first Word of God that was revised by a human being was the word freely. Freely. And my friend, there's many around today that hate God and hate Christ and hate the Bible, and they hate that word freely. They hate that word because they teach and preach that salvation is not by grace through faith. Salvation is by grace through faith plus nothing minus nothing. It's free. And God declares to the end of the book that it's free. Because in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation chapter 22 and in verse number 17, the Word of God says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Freely. Not only did Eve take from the Word of God, we find also she added to the Word of God. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it." Touch it. God didn't say anything about touching it. She added this old restriction herself right here. Now let me tell you something. In verse number 1, the devil suggested that God wasn't as good as she thought he was, and she fell for it. You know how I know that? Because of what she said here in verse number 3. She added this word touch and made God appear less generous than what he really was. So we find that she added to the Word of God. She was the first, but she's not been the last. Not only that, but Eve toned down the Word of God. Here in the last words of verse number 3, the Bible says, "Lest ye die." Is that what God said? God said, "Thou shalt surely, surely die," is what God said. She made God's positive statement a mere possibility. She toned down the Word of God. I know a preacher that was invited to a church to preach some meetings. When he got there, the pastor called him into the office. And he asked this preacher, he said, while you're here, there's two veins. There's two veins I don't want you to preach on. Number one, he said, I don't want you to preach on drinking liquor. Second, he said, I don't want you to preach on adultery. You know why? Because he had some pimps in his congregation who was guilty, who was involved in these particular sins. And he wanted this preacher to tone down the Word of God. Listen, my friend, don't ever tone down the Word of God for friend or foe. It matters not. So we find that she toned down the Word of God. Now I want you to notice verse number 4. In verse number 1, we have doubt. In verses 2 and 3, we have distortion. And then in verse number 4, we have denial. Here in verse 4, it says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now listen, my friend, in verse number 1, the devil only made a suggestion. But here in verse number 4, the devil made a bold statement. And he called God a liar. Listen, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. If you stand around and listen to the suggestions of the devil, there will come the time that you have to sit and listen to his denials or his flat-out lies. Most certainly this is so. So don't ever start listening to the suggestions of the devil. There are many people in this day that we're living that attend regularly every week a place where the man gets in the pulpit and calls God a liar, just as the devil did here in verse number 4. You know how it started? It started when they just started visiting a certain place occasionally, every once in a great while. And what the fellow said wasn't really so bad. He just made some suggestions, as we find here in verse number 1. But before they know it, they started attending a little more often that same place. And the fellow gets a little bolder in his suggestions and in his talk. And before they know it, they are full-fledged members, sitting there week after week, listening to him at this time, flat out, call God a liar. Most certainly this is so. So we find that if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. Now here the devil, he said, you shall not surely die. Here we find the liar calling the truth a lie. Isn't that what we have in verse number 4? We have the liar calling the truth a lie. Here in verse number 4, the devil called God a liar. He said, ye shall not surely die. Now I want you to notice something. Here in verse number 4, the devil combined a lie with the truth. He said, ye shall not. That's a lie. Then he said, surely die. That's the truth. He combined a lie with the truth. And my friend, a high truth that is a lie is ever the blackest of lies. It's the hardest to fight. And we find that many times this is how the devil operates. This is how he operates. So here in verse number 4, he said, you shall not surely die. Now listen, my friend. The denial here had to do specifically with divine judgment and death. Divine judgment and death. God says in his word, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The devil says, don't believe it. God says the wages of sin is death. The devil says that's not true. God says there's a red hot hell. The devil says it's not all that bad. God says there's coming a time that every lost individual is going to be cast in the lake of fire. The devil says a God of love wouldn't do that. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The devil says you're not as bad as God says you are. This is what the devil says. What the devil says. And many, down through the years and down through history, has been brainwashed by the devil. Been brainwashed by the devil. And he has got them to deny that there was a hell. And they got lost. And right now they are experiencing the very hell that he got them to deny. Here we find that the devil, he charged God with making a threat that he would not keep. That's what he did. Now I want us to move on and notice verse number 5. He said, "For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now listen, my friend, here in this verse, it says, "For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened." The devil said to the woman, he said, "God's keeping your eyes closed. God knows something that you don't know." The devil says, "God's a big God, and he don't want any lesser gods. He's jealous." That's what he was saying. He accused God of being guilty of the very thing that caused his fall, as described in Isaiah 14. And you'll notice here, he said, "Then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods." Now listen, my friend. The word gods here in verse number 5 is the Hebrew word Elohim. It's the same words you find in Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." It's the same word. So what was the devil saying here in verse number 5? He was saying this. He was saying, "In the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be like God." He was saying, "Ye shall be like God. You won't need God. You'll be your own God. You'll be a God unto yourself. You'll be self-sufficient." And what is that? Remember Romans 1:25. That is the lie. That is the lie. And this is exactly what he was saying here in verse number 5. And he says the same thing to many today. He says, just declare yourself independent of God. You won't need God. You don't need the church. You don't need the Bible. You don't need a preacher. That is the lie, as we find it presented here in verse number 5. Now, the woman here was faced with a choice. Was she going to believe the truth? Or was she going to believe the lie? Was she going to believe God? Or was she going to believe the devil? Verse number 6 tells us whom she believed. Verse 6 says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Here in verse number 6, we find disobedience. Here we find in this verse, it tells us that she took. Now listen, my friend. The Bible here does not tell us that the devil took the fruit and put it in her mouth. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. She did that. The only thing the devil can do is tempt you. Is tempt you. But we find here that the woman took. She made her choice. She made her choice. Now listen. God will not force you to get saved. He will call you and He will draw you. He will not force you to get saved. But the devil cannot force you to remain lost. He cannot force you to remain lost. All he can do is climb up on your shoulder when you hear the Word of God preached and whisper in your ear and say, God's a liar. That's not the truth. You don't need God. All the thing that the devil can do is tempt you. Here we find that he tempted the woman, and it says that she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. It is the first time that Adam is spoken of as being with the woman here in Genesis chapter number 3. Here we find that Adam had joined her. And here it tells us that she ate and gave also unto her husband with her. Here we find that the tempted becomes the tempter. And that's the order. We find, my friend, that sin has a tendency to reproduce itself very quickly and move from one individual to another. That's what we find right here. Right here in verse number 6. We find that the tempted became the tempter. The tempter. And then we find the last words of verse number 6 says this, and he did eat. And here we find disaster. Disaster. The moment that Adam ate of that forbidden fruit, he died spiritually. And many years later, he died physically. He died physically. And I say that in these words we have disaster because of what we find in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Now in closing tonight, I want us to notice briefly two passages that is found in the New Testament. And that is one of those, Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Here in this verse, the Word of God says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world. Who is the one man in verse number 12? The answer is Adam. The one we just read about eating in Genesis 3:6. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death types upon all men, for that all have sinned. Here we find in verse number 12, the Word of God is telling us that when Adam sinned, all mankind sinned in him. You see, my friend, Adam was the doorway through which sin entered to all of his descendants. To all of his descendants. You see, my friend, God saw in Adam the whole human race. And when Adam sinned, the whole human race sinned in him. When God passed the sentence of death upon Adam, the sentence of death was passed upon the whole human race. This is what the Word of God is clearly teaching here. In verse number 12, in reality, what Adam done was in effect what we done. What we done. What I'm saying is really this. We saw the forbidden fruit with his eyes. We gathered it with his hands.
We ate it with his mouth. We were ruined by those things that he did, just like we were standing there consenting to what he done. Now, because this is true, someone will say, well, preacher, why should I burn in hell for Adam's sin? I'm going to tell you something tonight, friend. You will not burn in hell for Adam's sin. God has provided a remedy for sin. And God holds each individual responsible for the remedy that he's provided. And if you die lost and burn in hell, it'll be because you rejected God's remedy for sin, which is his Son, Jesus Christ. So we find that the one sin that will send you to hell is the sin of unbelief. Isn't that right? Unbelief is the damning sin of mankind. Every soul that burns in hell right now is there because of one sin. The sin of unbelief. Of unbelief. The life passage that I want us to notice tonight in the third part of this series is found in the book of 1 John. If you have your Bible, I'm going to ask you to turn there. The book of 1 John. First John chapter 5 and verse 9 says, If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Notice the word believeth. He that believeth not God hath made him God a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. My friend, when you hear the story of God's love, when you hear the story of God's Son, and you say no, and you reject it, and you won't believe it, you're looking God square in the face and calling God a liar. Calling God a liar. Here it says, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And I'd say it's serious business. I'd say it's dangerous business to call God a liar. It would be dangerous to go out here in public and call some men a liar to their face. And my friend, it's much more serious and dangerous to call God a liar to his face. Verse 11 says, and this is the record that God hath given. He didn't sell it to us, nor did he let us earn it. That God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in our good works. Is that what your Bible says? Mine don't say that. It says, and this life is in his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Believing the truth will result in eternal life. Eternal life. But if one continues to believe the lie and reject the truth, it will eventually result in eternal death. Eternal death in the lake of fire. That's as far as we're going this evening with the series entitled The Lie. Thus far, we've noticed the commencement of the lie, and we have noticed the continuance of the lie. And if the Lord allows, this coming Wednesday evening, we'll deal with the last three remaining points concerning the lie. Like